That team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Steve Rosenblum.
There was a keg stand I lost to an 81-year-old lady. She got off the ninth floor, but it was really close.
Mark Grody.
I've been waiting to get a hold of this guy for years. Channel 2 News is out there interviewing people. Yeah, I've been talking to my wife about getting Steve. He once connected my dots and boarded my plate. I'm going to dunk his ass.
They suck, so you don't have to.
Can't you morons do anything right?
Founding members of the WB Club.
Smoke weed every day.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote.
Stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
I apologize. What is your name? I don't know who you are, the host.
I am Steve Rosenblum. This is Saturday Suckage on Valentine's Day. Let's find out who else is here by taking roll. Grobber.
It sucks and it freebases.
Don Cooper.
If I think something sucks, I'll tell you it sucks.
Jake Arrieta.
This sucks. Really, it does.
Yoel Jimenez.
Hey, you guys not going to make anyway. You guys suck. And when I got traded the next day, oh, welcome to the suck team.
Toby!
Oh my God, this sucks!
Random Bears fan. The legendary Boars.
Finally made a list of somebody who thinks he sucks besides I do.
Liam Hendricks.
I wouldn't say seeking perfection, it's just mainly trying not to suck.
Julie Swyka.
Man, that sucks.
Wilson Contreras.
Losing suck, I tell you that, and that's all I can say.
George Wendt.
We had fun, but there you go. I sucked.
Garth Algar.
Get it off, man! Get it off! It's sucking my will to live!
The legend, Steve Dahl.
Disco sucks! Disco sucks!
Candace Parker.
It sucks.
Roquan Smith.
Yeah, man. Sucks.
Zach LaVine.
It sucks to have a game one.
DeMar DeRozan. You know, it just sucks. Mike Tomlin.
It all sucks. There's not degrees of suck. It all sucks.
Josh Allen.
Sucks. Losing sucks. Sucks.
Should have been Cubs closer Pete Fairbanks.
You know, I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck.
AJ Pierzynski.
They should have just come out and said, hey, we're going to suck this year. And everyone would have been like, okay.
Pedro Grifol.
We're 20 games in. Our record sucks.
Michael Kopech.
It sucks, man. There's no easy way to put it.
Mark Burley.
So it did suck.
Clayton Kershaw.
Suck it, big dumper. Out of baby. Suck it, big dumper.
Patrick Manley.
Just to say it bluntly, the Bears suck.
Cade Horton.
It sucks. It really does suck.
Jim Morris Sr.
We sucked. The second half, we sucked.
J.J. McCarthy.
Absolutely sucks.
Matt LaFleur.
They all suck. How about that?
Bob Costas.
I also don't understand, or maybe I should just applaud you, for having the self-confidence to label your own show Saturday Suckage.
Baby T.
I suck, so you all don't have to.
Tyler Farrengirl, happy Valentine's Day to you.
Likewise.
So you achieved a bucket list thing, it seemed, that because Bruce called you Baby T.
I'm going to have to mark that one in the record books.
Did you cut the tape? Did you mark the tape?
I haven't yet, but I have it marked where it is. Don't worry, I'll get that.
Is that going to be your voicemail welcome, your ringtone? What are you going to do with that? That Bruce Levine's Baby T.
It's going to be somewhere. It's going to be somewhere, but I haven't decided yet.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Do you have a Valentine with which to share Valentine's Day? With whom to share Valentine's
Unfortunately,
Day?
Unfortunately, I do not. We're just going to be having dinner with my family tonight, so I'm looking forward to that.
Well, we brought you a donut. Me and my Valentine brought you a donut on top of the
Much
usual
appreciated.
Breakfast. Yes. And happy Valentine's Day to all of those out there who celebrate. We're right in the middle of Olympic sex season. We'll get to that in a couple hours on this show. We don't miss that chance. Welcome to Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealer. Phone number here at the Score, 312-644-6767. That number also gets you to our text line, 312-644-6767. 331 texture was here before the show started. Ah, Wake and Bake Saturday Suckage on 104.3 FM. That's us, yeah. Suck on Stevie Sunshine and friends. Well, we plan to. And the Wake and Bake show, by the way, Wake and Bake segment, will give you the origin story of one of their most famous stoner lines ever. You'll want to be around for that. For now, let me ask you a question, because we'll spend a lot of time on the Bears today. Before we get to Olympic sex season, we'll spend a lot of time on the Bears. There's trade season, free agency season, draft season, off season. We just had the Super Bowl. Got to ask, are the Bears doing it wrong? Have they gone about it wrong? Last Super Bowl you just saw, the Seahawks dominated with a defensive front that just destroyed a young Patriots offensive line. And blitzes, Devin Witherspoon. But he was like, he played football here, right? In the state? Played at Illinois, right? So it shouldn't be Devin Witherspoon. It should be Devon Witherspoon. Isn't that how we Chicagoize him? Anyways, that Witherspoon guy, he had himself a game. The year before, the Eagles front four dominated. They destroyed the Chiefs. They did not blitz once. Biggsy noted, a menacing pass rush has taken over three of the last five Super Bowls. 4 years ago, the Rams tied the Super Bowl 20 Bears with seven sacks, as Aaron Donald and Von Miller had two apiece, and ex-Bear Leonard Floyd led the assault on the Bengals and Joe Burrow. Imagine that. Leonard Floyd being put in a record sack sentence. 2015 Denver Broncos and the 1975 Pittsburgh Steelers steel curtain. Those defenses are the only others to have seven sacks in a Super Bowl. So you have to ask, are the Bears doing this the wrong way? Are they building this thing wrong? The Seahawks won the Super Bowl with a good quarterback, not great. He's outside the top 10. Sam Darnold is a wonderful story, not a great quarterback. The Eagles won the Super Bowl with a guy who barely got into the top 10. Jalen Hurts was 10th QBR. This isn't Brady, Manning, Mahomes. This isn't what started the whole thing. You better have a franchise quarterback. This is somewhere around Dilfer, Brad Johnson, game manager, protect the ball, run the ball, and have the defense destroy all hope. So what we saw last year, the only hope the Bears defense destroys a lot of their fans, the fans' dreams, the fans wanting to see what we're frankly used to seeing in Chicago. When the Bears are good, it's the defense leading the way. If you can't stop the run, and the Bears couldn't, then Kenneth Walker III will be Kenneth Walker, the 200-yard guy. That's the way things are going. Or would have gone. Are the Bears doing it wrong? We failed to come down. I don't know. This question doesn't get asked, and I'm asking it because of what we saw in the Super Bowl. You can't immediately turn a Titanic of a rebuild around. You can make yourself better. There's a lot of worst to first stories in the NFL. The Bears were just one of them. But we become hypnotized. We in Chicago have the pretty shiny combination of a play-calling genius head coach and a quarterback with magical skills. I mean, it was great. It was great excitement. It was spectacular. It was record-setting. All those comebacks, all that magic, all that cardiac Caleb stuff came about because the defense wasn't good enough. Sometimes Caleb wasn't good enough either. He sucked early. Then he made up for it. But the fact is, if you're going to get miracle endings, you need a defense that is putting you behind. you have to suck along the way if you're going to have miracle comebacks like that. Then again, to be fair, maybe they're doing it the right way in their own order. You can't skip steps. You have to know what the steps are, first of all. So let's say you're making a Super Bowl checklist. Super Bowl checklist. You want or need a franchise quarterback, stout offensive line, couple star playmakers, an offensive genius alchemizing all that, a cannibalizing defensive line, and a secondary that covers like toe tags. So where are the Bears on this checklist? Great head coach? That's there. Check that box. Franchise quarterback? You betcha. Star targets and playmakers? Yeah, they may be changing. We may not be sure. We thought DJ Moore was one of them. Then maybe not. But then you look at the biggest plays of the year, and he was on the receiving end of it. But then so was Romo Odunze. And I'm telling you, Luther Burden someday is going to lead the league in yak. And if he doesn't, Colston Loveland will. He's the best rookie to come out of that. So they're there. The defensive line sucks. If you're comparing them to real defensive lines, to champion defensive lines, the defensive line sucks. Compare them to Seattle. Compare them to Philadelphia the year before. I believe the secondary covers or makes plays. They cover like toe tags. That's what they leave. They got guys who make, you got interceptions, you got hard hitters, you got guys who can cover. The defensive line, closest to the ball, that sucks. That's just not good enough. In the secondary, we don't know who will be back. And there's some key players, guys who made a huge difference this year, might not be back. Nashawn Wright, Jaquan Brisker, I don't know. Last year's free agency, trade season, draft, that was all Ben Johnson. The Bears weren't skipping any steps, I don't think. They were taking the steps in the order they were presented. And I'm going to give them that. I think that's a good thing. Just as we saw Matt Nagy unable to coach the game that was in front of him, just as we see Arturis Karnišević unable to generally manage the league and the game in front of him, the Bears managed the checklist in front of them. We need that coach. We're going to pay for it. They did. We got that quarterback. Now we got the quarterback and the coach. The coach said, I need these playmakers. You want me? Here's my offense. Here's my vision. Here's the guys I need. And then Ben Johnson had himself a draft. So they did it in the order it was presented. Ryan Poles, meanwhile, or Ben Johnson told Ryan Poles, you redo that interior offensive line. All right, left guard, you got the greatest players ever. You got a guy who does nothing but go to the playoffs and win. At center, you got the best guy on the market. At right guard, you got a guy who is available because another team made a mistake, thought their other guy was better. Whatever it is, you got better at the Bears. Your running game got better. Your coach said it would. They did. You did it in that order. Now, if free agency and trading and the draft aren't all about giving Dennis Allen BFFs, then the Bears definitely are doing it wrong. That defensive line needs a ferocious tackle in the middle. Everybody's screaming edge. I get it. Defensive tackle. You look at what the Eagles, Seahawks, and look at even the Patriots. The Patriots needed a defensive tackle. They knew their line wasn't good enough. So they went to the Eagles, and they got their one of their defensive tackles. Hey, you want a Super Bowl? Come here. Show us how that's done. And they got to the Super Bowl, in large part on defense. that defensive tackle, the guy closest to the ball. The Bears don't have that guy. Maybe they thought Grady Jarrett was the guy. He wasn't. Javon Dexter, I mean, we keep waiting and waiting and waiting, and that he's not. If we knew it, the guy would be here. He's not here. Big Bill, Andrew Billings, well, he's a run stopper. He hasn't eaten too many quarterbacks. They need that guy. And they need an edge. It's not that they don't need an edge. I think they need a defensive tackle first. They need an edge. I don't know, I guess the guy's going to have to make Montez Sweat better. The defensive tackle can make Montez Sweat better. Maybe they can make their... We were told Sweat was a multiplier. Not much, although Austin Booker probably benefited by it. But we need a defensive tackle. We need the Bears to get a defensive tackle. If they don't get that guy who destroys people in the middle, somebody needs to be fired because the Bears would be doing it wrong. Whoever's making the call, big money Benny Johnson, titular GM Ryan Poles, the call has to be a man-eating defensive tackle, double-digit sack threat. Dennis Allen needs some BFFs. He can't keep dancing and jumping and smoking and mirrors with defensive backs. And look, Kyler Gordon is a wonderful player, great in Dennis Allen's system. Kyler Gordon wasn't healthy. If he's the linchpin of your defense, and I got to say, Dennis Allen ad-lib pretty good. Somebody else's player, somebody else's defense. Give Dennis Allen the players he needs to make his vision of the defense work. And it's got to be something up the middle. Maybe they all make each other better, but that's what this offseason has to be. Don't make me fire somebody. Don't make me get out of this chair. Just do it right. Check all the boxes. There's no reason you can't think Super Bowl next year for the Bears. Look how close they came this year. Playmakers, play callers not going to change. Quarterback won't change. They'll still have enough talent offensively. Not defensively. That's not good enough. It's obvious even to us. You would hope that Ben Johnson would tell Ryan Poles how obvious it is. And it starts with a defensive tackle. I'm Stevie Zongine. Or Stevie Sukich. Hey, 104.3 Chicago. Spore. Yeah. Hey, new. Branding. FM. You know what? I drive in and park at the Prudential Center. I drive in. I went down. I said, wow, I want to see how this works. My God, Tyler, I could hear us on like the bottom level of the parking structure.
I'm telling you, it's a life-changing experience.
I may never leave. It's warm down there. And if you do it Saturday to Saturday, then they just think you paid for that one day. So it's cheaper. You don't have to pay like $32, $50 bucks a day, whatever. Yeah, it's pretty impressive on FM. And I do sound better. I was talking, one of the guys at my Trader Joe's, the man with two first names, David Harvey, and he says, yeah, I was listening last week, and you were talking about the FM, and I forgot. And so I switched back and forth, 670, 104.3, because you suck just like you do on AM.
Except clearer.
High fidelity suckage right here. All right, you heard me talk about the Bears, draft, free agency, trading. My next guest will talk about that. We'll get his thoughts on it, too. Aaron Lemming of 24/7 Sports. We'll talk some Bears next. Chicago Sports Radio on our new, we are 104.3, The Score.
You know, I do think it's important to take a step back, to get fresh eyes, to try not to wait maybe the last three games heavier than everything else. So we'll do that, get back together, look at the roster. As Coach said, there's some challenges and some big decisions we got to make. But I'm excited for that. Usually that means you're in a good position and you're having success. And the more success you have, the more challenges and hard decisions you got to make. And those will be critical for us to sustain it.
That is Bears titular general manager Ryan Poles talking about the end of this season, heading into next season, which means this whole offseason, trading, signing, and free agency, drafting, more cutting, more contract choreography. And that's what we're looking at now. Joining me on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline, download the Circa app today. Joining me is Aaron Lemming, 24/7 Sports, Bear Report, and all kinds of football stuff, and that's what we're talking about. Aaron, thanks for taking time out today. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a little bit, so good to be back on with you.
It has, and now you're here, Aaron Lemming in FM on 104.3 The Score. We all sound much groovier.
Yeah, no, I bet. I saw that. I think it was the beginning of this week or last week? Yeah, everything's running together for me lately. So
yeah. Last week. So your Bears contract choreography, if you were to pick, see, not everybody's coming back. You can make sure some guys don't come back. You can change contracts by making sure guys come back. What do you think are the first, say, three steps Ryan Poles should take to put together the next Bears roster when free agency and the league season starts in March?
Yeah, well, I think really for the first time in, what, 4 or 5 off seasons, I mean, this is the first time that they're going to have to go out and clear some space, right? I mean, they're right around $5.3 million over the cap, which I know some people look at and kind of freak out. Not a big deal. It just is what it is at this point. This is what happens when you have, you know, a contending team, especially a team that hasn't really done many restructures. So I think the first thing they've got to do is they've got to look at the restructure options. I mean, there's a ton of them out there. I think the most obvious choice right out of the gate, and I know some people are going to disagree, is cutting Tremaine Edmonds. I mean, you get $15 million right there. That gets you back into the green, gets you a little bit of, you know, breathing room to be able to re-sign some guys before free agency starts. Like I said, I think the second thing really is they've got to figure out who they're going to restructure, right? And I think that that's kind of one of those balances where I think when you're looking at it, there's probably a good, I don't know, 8 to 9 players out there that they can restructure. But I think the key thing to kind of keep in mind with this is that outside of DJ Moore and Kyler Gordon, they only have, those are the only two players, veteran players under contract that are not under rookie deals past 2027. So I think when you're starting to look at some of these restructures, it's one of those things where, you know, DJ Moore, if they don't trade him, then it makes sense to restructure him because you can save $16.5 million and you can balance that dead cap hit over the next few years and it doesn't look quite as bad. Same thing with Kyler Gordon. But again, you've got Cole Kmet. You could either restructure or extend, whatever the case may be. But I think in terms of kind of looking at it from my 1-2-3 step, I think you got to start with the cuts. You got to go to the restructures. And then I think third, I mean, you got to kind of figure out who you want to keep, whether that's Kevin Byard or Jaquan Brisker. I don't know that you can, you know, keep both of those guys and kind of start to look at some of the pending free agents that they have. You know, what are they going to do at left tackle with Ozzie Trapello very likely going to miss at least half of next year? Does it make sense to bring Braxton Jones back on a 1 year, you know, $4 or $5 million deal? So I think in order to really get set for free agency in the draft, I think the biggest focus is one, clearing space, and then two, figuring out what they're going to do on their own, you know, with their own guys that are going to hit free agency.
My guest is Aaron Lemming, 24/7 Sports. He covers the Bears. He writes about it on X, on Twitter at Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, capital L-E-M-I-N-G, NFL. We're talking Bears football here. The idea of keeping, I don't see them keeping Brisker. Brisker's a warrior, and I'm stunned he made every game this year. The concussion problem only seems to make it worse. And Ryan Poles sounded like Byard's the guy he wants to bring back, and there are so many different layers of what he did besides lead the league, or most essentially lead the league in interceptions, but his defensive smarts made Dennis Allen's defense a lot better. How different? You can start with him if you want, or you can start up front where they need a defensive tackle because that's like that's a rolling tollway too often. How far away are we from, or how much work do they have to do to give Dennis Allen the defense that he would consider ideal?
Well, I thought it was interesting during the divisional round when they were talking about, I think it's Chris Collinsworth was talking about how when Ben Johnson got hired and then he hired Dennis Allen, one of the things they talked with Dennis Allen about in the very beginning was like, hey, we're going to go in, we're going to fix the offense. Like, you're going to have to wait a year in order for you to start getting your pieces. And yeah, they did make some moves last year. I mean, none of those really panned out overly well, which was kind of unfortunate with Dayo Odangbo, who wasn't very productive before he went down with the injury. And then obviously Grady Jarrett, who is on the wrong side of 30 and is just not the pass rusher he used to be. But I think that that was relatively notable, because I think when you're looking at their needs, especially, I mean, obviously Ben Johnson's an offensive minded head coach. They're going to make some moves offensively. It's hard to predict, but then again, the draft was hard to predict last year, and they ended up with a tight end and receiver with their first two picks when a lot of people thought they could have gone a different direction. So I think as far as the secondary goes, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I think Kevin Byard makes the most sense on a few different levels. Obviously, he's quite a bit older than Brisker, but this is somebody who's about as durable as he gets. Like you said, he led the league in interceptions last year for the second time in his career. I think he's a really good fit for what Dennis Allen's trying to do. And I think with Jaquan Brisker, I think he's bad as it sounds, he's easier to replace outside of the health issues. I mean, when you're looking at more of a box safety, somebody who can support in too high, but he's not going to be your center fielder, I think that that's a lot easier to replace, especially through the draft or, you know, cheaper in free agency. But when you're looking at the defensive line, I mean, they're in a weird position because the defensive line isn't good, but at the same time, they have a lot of investments, you know, up there, whether that is free agency, whether that's trades with Montez Sweat, whether that's, you know, higher draft picks with Javon Dexter. I mean, they also have Shamar Turner, who's going to be coming back. I mean, they have a lot of investments there, but a lot of those investments haven't really worked out. So I think, I mean, kind of like you pointed out, I know a lot of people are focused on edge rusher. I think that edge rusher is going to be a focus to a certain extent. I do think that they're going to look to add an impact player there. You know, like usual, the free agent market isn't great. I know a lot of people are kind of focused on Trey Hendrickson or possibly a trade for Max Crosby. But as we've seen with those types of trades that end up requiring, you know, multiple first round picks, they very rarely work out in the long term for the team trading for that player. So I think the Bears have got to be somewhat careful in doing something like that if they're thinking about doing it. But like you said, I think defensive tackle is going to be the most interesting one, just because Grady Jarrett is going to be around for 2026. But after that, I mean, they could basically get out of that contract with very little dead money going into 2027. And then Jervon Dexter is going into a free agent year as well. So you're kind of looking at the defensive tackle position. You're saying, okay, you know, Andrew Billings very likely not going to be back. You're going to need a run stuffer. But what are you going to do at three tech? Are you comfortable going with Dexter and Jared, or do you want to go out? I mean, there's multiple different players, if you're looking at free agency, that could make a ton of sense for them that probably aren't going to, you know, cost a ton. John Franklin Myers is somebody that I really like as far as a fit. I mean, even if you're looking in the top half of the draft in that first round, very likely a defensive tackle is probably going to make the most sense for them. So I think when you're looking at the defense as a whole, I don't think everything's going to get fixed this year. I think you're going to see a little bit of a shuffle at linebacker. Luckily, linebacker is not a crazy expensive position to go out and fix. But I think, yeah, the focus is going to be on the defensive line. I think as far as safety goes, you bring back Byard, maybe bring in a veteran of some sort on a cheap deal, and then obviously go out in the, you know, I'd say the first two or three rounds of the draft and go out and find, you know, kind of your future at safety. Because even if they re-sign Byard, it's probably going to be, you know, a two-year deal. And I mean, he's going to be 33 this year. So the longevity is probably not going to be there.
My guest is Aaron Lemming, 24/7 Sports. He writes about the Bears for that site. So we're talking Bears here on 104.3, The Score. I often hear when I bring this up, like, they need to keep going after the defensive line, especially defensive tackle. And I hear people say they've got so much invested in the defensive line. And I keep coming back to the idea that two things. One is, I don't care how much money you've got invested. It's not good enough, and you start closest to the ball. And the position on that line closest to the ball is defensive tackle, three technique. Those guys are the most important part. The second thing is that kind of defensive line certainly makes a, if you have a questionable secondary, it makes, it deodorizes it a lot. Quarterback cannot throw a ball when he's on the ground. And I don't have a problem if some people think you're over-investing on the defensive line. Do you have any clues the way Ryan Poles would look at that? Would he be hesitant to continue to throw more money at the defensive line, as important as it is, or do we not know yet?
Well, I think at this point in time, I think they've somewhat made it at least obvious to me that, yeah, they're going to continue to add. Because like you said, yeah, they have a ton invested, but the problem is those investments haven't worked out very well. And I think if you go back and you watch the last two Super Bowls and the two teams that have dominated in the Super Bowl, one of the biggest keys was the fact that their defensive lines were just so overwhelming. I mean, you're talking about a guy in Drake May who was an MVP candidate. I mean, he was one first place vote away from walking away from having the MVP or a tie with the MVP. And you're talking about a guy that looked like he'd never thrown football for the majority of that game. And then, you know, again, the year prior to that, I mean, Patrick Mahomes struggled mightily. Patrick Mahomes is, you know, the best quarterback in the league right now. And he couldn't get the ball out of his hands, and they got blown out against the Eagles the Super Bowl before. So, no, I think that the defense and the offensive line are two spots, and we saw it this year with the Bears where you fix the offensive line and all of a sudden, obviously, Ben Johnson comes in and that's a big factor. But when you fix the trenches the way that the Bears were able to do that on the offensive side of the ball, you saw the improvements on the offense. And I think in order for them to be a top 10 defensive unit, they've got to be able to fix the defensive line. And I think the other key too, you know, with these investments and when looking at this, when looking at, you know, past 2026, is the fact that not a lot of these guys are under contract. And even if they are under contract, it's going to be easy to get out of them. Even the same thing with Montez Sweat. That'll be the last year of his deal in 2027. So they can easily kind of move things around and figure it out. But I think when you look at the teams that have done the best and have gone to the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl, they have waves and waves and waves of pass rushers. And that's not just on the outside, that's on the interior too. And right now, I mean, I think you could argue that the Bears have probably one of the five worst defensive lines in football. And no matter how you cut it, no matter how excited you are offensively, if you don't have the guys in the trenches and the horses up front on the defensive side of the ball, your ceiling as a team is limited. And I think especially in today's NFL, where you're looking at even in the NFC, there are so many different teams that are loaded on both sides of the ball in the trenches. The Bears have got to be one of those teams.
Aaron, before I let you go, that said, give me free agency and or trade. Give me a favorite target and a sleeper target. You think you would go after, or that the Bears might go after? Who's the most likely target and surprise?
Yeah, so I would say, and it's funny because when I look at, you know, most likely players, I know a lot of people are focused on Max Crosby or, you know, Trey Hendrickson. I think when you're looking at edge rusher, I think the one player that actually really fits them is going to be Dafe Owe. And he's a guy that when you look at his pressures per game or, you know, pressure percentage or whatever, it wasn't great in the early season. He came on strong with the Chargers towards the end after the trade. But I think another thing is he's really good at stopping the run. So I think that as far as, you know, obvious targets at defensive end, I think that he would probably make the most sense. And then as far as surprise target, I would actually go on the offensive side of the ball. I think that when you're looking at the Bears offense right now, and kind of what they need to kind of take that next step and moves that they could make, I would not be shocked to see them move off of DeAndre Swift, and I would not be shocked to see them go after Breece Hall in free agency. I think as far as a receiving target and as far as the overall burst and vision that they're looking to have in that outside zone, wide zone scheme, I think that he makes a ton of sense. So I think if they're going to make that one surprising move, I think it will be on the offensive side of the ball. And I think that Breece Hall makes a ton of sense as far as a like a surprising target for them.
Very nice. Yeah, we're going to hold you to that bingo card, Aaron. I appreciate you. Thank you for making your FM debut, Aaron Lemming. Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Aaron Lemming, 24/7 Sports, talking about the Bears here on The Score. We'll continue to do that. Talk about, focus on the draft next hour with a guest, Jacob Infante. And I got some ideas and thoughts and draft stuff to bring you. But next, you know what? It's baseball season. Spring training is warmth. We're going to bring you warmth. We'll talk Cubs. We'll go down to Arizona in the 1 o'clock hour. But next, we got to hear about the Church of Baseball. And I'm going to tell you about the greatest baseball giveaway ever, period. End of sentence, end of paragraph, end of story. The greatest giveaway ever. I'm Steve Rosenblum. This is 104.3 The Score.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it?
Yeah, simple game. From Bull Durham. Welcome in, welcome back. The manager posted the lineup card, and we've had a change in the batting order. Megan Montemurro of the Tribune, she covers the Cubs down there in Arizona. She will join us at the top of the hour. We thought it might be later in the show, but we're happy to accommodate Megan and happy she could accommodate us. We'll talk Cubs. We'll talk Shota. We'll talk Kate Horton. We'll talk Zach Gallen. Who's there? Who's not there? But for now, because it's just, you say that, go down to Arizona, it makes you feel warmer, right? So I think it's appropriate in this start of baseball season, which is not actually start of baseball season, but you can see it from here. And it is glorious, as spoken by Annie Savoy in Bull Durham.
I believe in the Church of Baseball. I've tried all the major religions and most of the minor ones. I've worshipped Buddha, Allah, Brahma, Vishnu, Siva, trees, mushrooms, and Isidore Duncan. I know things. For instance, there are 108 beads in a Catholic rosary, and there are 108 stitches in a baseball. When I learned that, I gave Jesus a chance. But it just didn't work out between us. The Lord laid too much guilt on me. I prefer metaphysics to theology. You see, there's no guilt in baseball, and it's never born, which makes it like sex. There's never been a ball player slept with me who didn't have the best year of his career. Making love is like hitting a baseball. You just gotta relax and concentrate. Besides, I'd never sleep with a player hitting under 250, unless he had a lot of RBIs or was a great glove man up the middle. You see, there's a certain amount of life wisdom I give these boys. I can expand their minds. Sometimes when I've got a ball player alone, I'll just read Emily Dickinson or Walt Whitman to him. And the guys are so sweet, they always stay and listen. Of course, a guy will listen to anything if he thinks it's foreplay. I make them feel confident, and they make me feel safe and pretty. Of course, what I give them lasts a lifetime. But they give me last 142 games. Sometimes it seems like a bad trade. But bad trades are part of baseball. I mean, who can forget Frank Robinson for Milt Pappas, for God's sake? It's a long season, and you gotta trust it. I've tried them all, I really have. And the only church that truly feeds the soul day in, day out, is the Church of Baseball.
Annie Savoy from Bull Durham. That's no better way to open a baseball season or to open every baseball segment there is. Susan Sarandon, that was outstanding. So that leads me to our next item in feeling warm baseball stories. The Texas Rangers have planned the greatest giveaway in baseball history, period. I will accept no arguments, and neither will you after I tell you what it is. It is a replica of the blood-stained Nolan Ryan jersey, and they'll be giving it away on May 29th against the Royals. And there's a reason it comes against the Royals. Again, the Texas Rangers giveaway on May 29th are replicas of the bloodstained Nolan Ryan jerseys. You've never heard anything of that. Here's the backstory. On September 8th, 1990, Hall of Fame pitcher Nolan Ryan famously continued pitching for the Rangers against the Royals despite suffering from a bleeding lip from a Bo Jackson line drive. Bo Jackson hit a line drive up the middle, off the face, second inning. Ryan received stitches, stayed in the game. He allowed only one run through seven innings with a bloody jersey. Legend. Legendary baseball giveaway. I defy you to find anything that comes close to that. Tyler, Baby T. I'm sorry, Baby T. Wow, he's FM. We're on FM. He's Baby T. Baby T.
I'm here.
What is the wildest giveaway you've heard of before this?
The wildest?
What's the biggest, giveaway? The strangest? This is the greatest in my world. Bobblehead's got nothing. Everybody did bobbleheads. Not everybody can do a bloody jersey. I don't know if the Red Sox did a bloody sock. Curt Schilling in a World Series. I'm trying to think of anything that was given away based on a damaged or defaced body part, but the fact that it spilled out onto the jersey and he pitched with it.
This might sound kind of lame. It's not one of the giveaway itself isn't wild, but can I share one time when I was visiting my friend up at the University of Minnesota, we had went to a Twins game and it was Justin Morneau's jersey retirement ceremony. So they were giving away Justin Morneau bobbleheads and we were one of the first however many people to get in that got a bobblehead. It came without a bat. He was literally like standing like in his batting stance with no bat.
Why? Had he already had a concussion and they didn't want him to bat?
Wow. That's got to be the wild, not necessarily like a wild giveaway, but just wild in the sense of you're giving away a bobblehead of a baseball player with no bat.
Well, it was Canadian. Maybe it alternated the bat and the hockey stick. Maybe you can put one in.
That's a good, yeah, that'd be a good match. How would you hold how would you bat with a hockey stick? Like this?
Same thing.
Same thing?
Hold it. You can swing it. You can swing it. So the next thing I want to bring you. Oh, wait. 815 says it wasn't a line drive. It was a one-hopper. All right. Well, my research said line drive. Whatever. It was enough to bloody Nolan Ryan's face. He bled all over his jersey. He continued to pitch for the next five innings. He got stitches, and that's the giveaway. That's the object of the exercise to tell
Crazy.
You that story. So I love baseball stories. Jim Konigsberger is a great follow for baseball stories. Here's one about former Cubs manager Lou Piniella. When Lou Piniella joined the Yankees in 1974, George Steinbrenner told him to cut his hair because it was too long. If you don't know, the Yankees had a policy and no beards, no long hair, no nothing. So Lou Piniella said to George Steinbrenner, our Lord Jesus Christ was the greatest person who ever lived, and he had long hair. So, right, Baby T? That's a pretty good argument, right? Got to give Lou this.
Good argument.
Okay. Steinbrenner took Piniella across the street to a swimming pool. And he said, if you can walk across that water, you can wear your hair any way you want to.
Go defy gravity right now.
And I'll close my spring training stories and baseball warmth with Bob Uecker, the legend, the legendary Brewers announcer, just a hysterical guy who has made a career on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, Mr. Baseball. Quote, in spring training, I would always try to get a good tan, because if you look good, the manager will think you're in shape. Bob Uecker, legend. All right, take a break. When I come back, we'll continue talking baseball. We'll go down to Arizona where it's warmer than it is here, and I'll talk to Megan Montemurro. She's covering the Cubs for the Tribune. 104.3, The Score.